The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey there, everyone. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. I'm very excited to be here. A little early on a Thursday recording because I'm playing in the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame golf outing today. We have 22 teams at Cascades. A little thunderstorm this morning. Didn't scare us off. We're going to go and hang out and eat some Big D's barbecue. Have a great day of fun and fellowship. So looking forward to that. So I stopped in a little early to record the program, and hopefully not going to disappoint you. I've got a lot of good stuff this show. It's just a variety of things that have been on my plate that I thought I'm just going to put them all together, try to have a great show, and then next week we'll be back, and then the following week I'll be out of town, but we'll tee something up for everybody so we won't go without listening to something from somebody, and I haven't asked the guys in the office quite yet what that would be. Of course, this first segment is brought to you by Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor. They specialize in generators. We might need those. And solar arrays. Tim's a veteran. He wants to be your electrician like he is mine. 812-361-3604 or find him on Facebook. Lance Like of the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call my buddy Lance at 812-323-8300. And finally, Kenny Blaine Auctions. They're your full-service auction service. They can offer the pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblaneauctions.com. And I know they have an active auction going on right now, a lot of cool things. So it's fun to piddle through there. And when you put a bid in, it's just like anything else, like eBay or whatever, you're unlikely to get it until the very end. So it's kind of fun, right? With about 30 seconds to go, you put that last bid in, bang, and then you win it. I always say you win it. Well, you actually pay for it, but I guess you do win the bid technically. All right, let's talk a little bit about the market. So stocks took a breather last week as we all digested the previous week's surge, and the month-to-date solid gains. The Dow, S&P, NASDAQ all dropped for the week. Stocks drifted lower last week as this tug of war between the bulls and the bears played out. Now, let me explain this. The bulls are just out of their mind because this market does not support what's been going on. And Rod's been saying that over and over and over. We have never seen a market like, for instance, this week retreat, but yet volatility went down. Normally, when stocks go down, volatility tends to spike. It's the most odd thing ever. But we had a pretty light week last week on market-moving news. After falling the first few days of that holiday-shortened week, stocks rebounded on Thursday to recover some of the week's losses. Stocks looked past that congressional testimony by Fed Chairman Powell, and then he talked again. Someone said he was speaking in Portuguese. I don't know if that's really true or not. Wherever he was, and he said that it is likely we're going to have more rate hikes. He said two more rate hikes are likely in the wake of interest rate hikes by the central banks in UK, Switzerland, Norway, and Turkey. The retreat continued into Friday and then, of course, continued into this week, fueled by global growth fears from new economic data indicating more robust economic slowdowns in the Eurozone, Japan, and Australia. Now, here's something I want to talk about. Homebuilder confidence edged into positive territory for the first time in 11 months, aided by strong demand, low inventory, and recovering supply chain. May's new home sales, which rose 21.7%, the most significant gain since October of 16, validated all this. The number of new home starts in May hit a 13-month high, with both single and multifamily homes up a lot. Sales of existing homes in May also were up month over month. while declining, though, 20% from a year ago. Now, you remember that, right? A year ago, we were in a hot, heavy market, and we're just not there now, which is kind of nice, honestly, because if you're trying to be a buyer, you can think about stuff. Before, you were just jumping in and saying, okay, I'll take it, no matter what the price. But interest rates have really hurt things. My son and I think I mentioned it last week, are in the middle of negotiating a home that he wants to improve and maybe live in, or maybe flip, maybe rent. I don't know. Just trying to get him going. 22. I started buying real estate when I was 23, 24, I think, actually. And you know what? All of a sudden, you wake up one day and you're old, and things are paid off, and the cash flow's good. And I want him to be in the same position. So that's what a good friend of mine said to me years ago when I asked, how did you get to where you are today? And he was a real estate guy. And he literally looks at me, very simple answer. He just said, I got old. And I laughed. And he said, no, I'm serious. I got old. He said, all of a sudden, I went from robbing Peter to pay Paul to everything's paid off. And now I've just, money comes in, you know, like wildfire. So that's what I'm trying to do with my son. But the interest rate on the loan he's getting, is 7%. So now it is an investment property, but still 7%. So it really makes it tough to make the numbers work. But here's the thing about home sales. Everything when it comes to homes and other things are driven by demographics. And I'm so kind of excited that I was able to talk heavily about demographics, predictable spending patterns, where people were going, what they were going to be spending money on, and how that drives everything. From buying salty snacks, what's the peak age of buying salty snacks, right? You're about 40-something, and that's because your kids are around 14 and they're eating you out of house and home. When's the peak of electricity use? It's when your kids are, the oldest. So it's all driven by families and what they're doing. Well, we have this big group of millennials that are pushing through, right? They're going to buy homes, right? They're going to send their kids to gymnastics. They're going to sign them up for youth football. You know, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. And that's what's driving this stuff. So even though rates have jumped up, it makes total sense to me on the real estate market, even though stock market doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. The housing market does. And I think when you look at how you borrow money on real estate, ask for different options. Maybe you do something that's based on a interest only for a little while to keep your cash flow in check. And then in a couple of years, the curve indicates that rates will come down and you'll be able to get a reasonable interest rate on your mortgage. So I don't know. There's a lot of creative ways to approach these types of things, where you can still get into what you want to get into, have a payment that you can afford, and then have a plan to how to start paying that down over time. Now, this week we had durable good orders, new home sales, GDP numbers came out, jobless claims here on Thursday. So as I record, they are not out, but on Friday, personal income and outlays, we're going to see that backpedal guaranteed. And then how's the consumer feeling? All that hopefully is starting to come down, right? Because we want them to slow down a little bit in their discretionary spending, because that'll bring that inflation number in check. But the reality of it is, you know, first quarter GDP was around 1-something. We think second quarter will be 2-something, maybe low 2s, but it doesn't really matter. We have had 4% year-over-year inflation. We're starting to see some prices decline. You know, cars aren't flying off the lots like they did, you know, a year or two ago. So things are starting to check up, which is exactly what we needed. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, okay, you guys are going to think I'm a hypocrite now, because I'm going to when should you actually tax defer, and how do you do it, right? And not in your retirement accounts, but with your other money. Now, you're like, David, you tell us never to put money away tax deferred and never pay it later. You want to pay it now. Well, there's a couple of ways and reasons that you might want to reconsider that, especially if you're going to have some life changes in a couple of years. I'll be right back to talk about that and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Gives you any indication how early it is that I'm recording this program, drinking coffee today, not water. So anyway, if I get a little jittery, a little fast talking, we'll blame it on the caffeine. All right, so yeah, don't think I'm a hypocrite that I've always said don't tax defer, because we want to pay the tax now and never pay it again. And, you know, when you're talking about retirement accounts, you either put it away today, tax deferred, you know, get that little tax high now. It grows tax deferred, and then when you take it out, you pay the tax. Well, as you well know, hopefully I've convinced you all by now that we should pay as much of that tax as possible now so that we are in control of our future when it comes to taxation. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But what if you have money sitting in, you know, in taxable investments that are not part of a retirement plan? And you're like, man, I'm in the 37% bracket. When you throw on 5% on top of that for state and local, you know, I'm at 40-some percent, and I'm making really good money, but I'm going to retire in a couple of years. I really don't want to pay the tax on this interest that I'm making, because now we're making some pretty decent interest. Let's call it 5%. Well, there's a way to do that. The other thing I want to talk about is mutual funds, right? In the fall, with no control of your own, they will usually kick out capital gains, dividends, things like that, and you pay tax on it, whether you wanted to or not. So when should you tax defer? If you're a high-income earner and you will be retiring sometime soon, and when I say soon, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. So you put the money away, you put your $100,000 away, it grows at $5,000 a year, and it is tax deferred. And then when you get ready to take the money, you can take it in a very tax-efficient way. Now, here's where we're going to head with this. We're going to go back to the annuity discussion. Because with an annuity, a non-qualified annuity, which not an IRA, not any Roth, nothing like that. It's just an annuity. It's like a time deposit at the bank, but it's with the insurance company. You can buy fixed. You can buy fixed indexed. You can have the mutual fund subaccounts if that's, you know, where you want to go with that. But we're going to stick with the fixed for now, or the fixed index. So it grows tax deferred, so I don't pay on that $5,000 every year. It does compound, which is kind of cool. And then you say, now I'm ready to take the money out. Well, the way those work, it's last in, first out, which means the gain has to come out first. Therefore, it's taxable. And then you get to your principal, it's not taxable. But there is something called the annuitization method to take money out. And then they refer to something called an exclusion ratio. So if you say, you know what, I want this paid out over 10 years. And at this point I have, let's say, $50,000 of gain and $100,000 was my money. And they pay 1/10 of it out every year. Well, they proportionately send you your principal, which is not taxable, and the gain, which is taxable. So it's a very tax-efficient stream. So basically, if you take, you know, in that scenario, two-thirds of the money that I take out is just return of my money. So I don't pay tax. I only pay tax on 1/3 of it. Now, you may not want to do an annuitization because then you lose control of how that works. Not necessarily. There actually are some products out there in the annuity world, the insurance world, where you don't have to give up all the control but still get those exclusion ratio or the annuitization type of payout. And that's a terrific way to tax defer now while you're in this high tax bracket, and then create a very tax-efficient income stream in retirement. All right? Now, here's the crazy thing. Rates are so good. Right now, this week alone, I had a situation come up. That's why I'm talking about it, where we were able to find a 3-year fixed annuity at 5.25%, that was the top rate in the country that we could find with the best rated companies. And we locked it in, and that's what we're going to do. They're going to collect this 5.25 off for the next 3 years. And then whenever they retire, we're going to flip on the income stream, and they're going to have a very efficient way of taking money. Now, why aren't they more promoted more? That's my question. Well, I can tell you, paperwork and pay. There's a lot of paperwork involved when you do an annuity. It's not like opening a bank account. I don't know why there is a lot of paperwork, but there just is. Yeah, I mean, there's suitability paperwork. There's where did you work last paperwork. What's your job title paperwork. It's just a lot of paperwork. And the person that's selling you this or putting you in this, they don't make any money. I mean, the amount of money they make on these are so little that it's like not even worth doing the paperwork for. So it almost has to be a situation where you ask for it as opposed to someone offering it up to you. That's just my opinion. I may be wrong, but that's my opinion. Now, how is my money safe? Well, we've been talking a lot about FDIC insurance, right, with the Silicon Valley Bank situation and others where, hey, you mean I'm only protected to $250,000? Yeah, we haven't been talking about that forever. And remember the show I talked about how you can at one bank potentially have a lot more money by just spreading how you title things, like individual is one, joint is one, transfer on debt, or pay on death one, pay on death two. You could move your money around in the same bank with different type of trust and get multiple layers of coverage. But what about annuities? What about a fixed annuity? Well, there's something through the Indiana Department of Insurance called the Indiana Guarantee Association. Well, they have the exact type of coverage that the FDIC has for CDs, and it's the same limits. So you have a company that rarely goes under in an insurance company. In fact, you know, it's called receivership if they go under, as opposed to a bank, and they go under, then they're blah, blah, blah bank on Friday and XYZ bank on Monday. They just put a new sign up and there we go. Well, the insurance industry, the way that works, it's a little bit different. If a company goes into receivership, so they're, you know, insolvent, they get taken over by the Indiana Department of Insurance, and then they basically say, okay, we are going, here's your fixed annuity, but you're going to be under this label now. So they're basically selling off assets to these other insurance companies, and then when they get down to the assets that no one wants, then they push them, they make them take them, but on sort of a size basis. So that's the way I understand it. Now, again, I may not be exactly right about that, but that's the way it was explained to me 20 years ago, so I'm going to stick with it. So we haven't talked about protection limits for a long time, but it's important. So when do you tax defer? Well, when it makes sense to do that, but certainly not in the 401ks and the IRAs. I still want you to pay the tax now on those to not pay the tax later, because you don't have the same option of saying, well, I put my money in and now I have some gains. Now, actually, in one way you do, because you could do a non-deductible IRA contribution, create a basis in your IRA, and that's if you weren't eligible to do a Roth or you couldn't necessarily do a backdoor Roth for whatever reason, and kind of create the same situation in a non-deductible traditional IRA. You put it in non-deductible. That's your money. You didn't take a deduction. You don't have to pay tax when you take it out. You do it over and over and over and over. So that's why I promote that a lot for people when they can't put money into an IRA or Roth because of income limits or whatever it might be. Why not put, everyone can do a non-deductible IRA. Do it. And then when you get to retirement, you have a basis in your IRA, and then you can take the same kind of distributions, and it's pro rata. When it comes out, what part is my money that I paid tax on already, and what is the gains? And you can do it. Kind of a cool way. So something for you all to think about. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, what is the cost of just leaving money sitting in the bank and not paying attention to it and not earning anything? And then I'm going to jump on our industry because I think you're all being robbed right now with these cash accounts out there. Not everyone, but a lot of people are. I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Flying solo today on a Thursday morning is when I'm recording this, with coffee, a little Java in my hand. So appreciate you hanging out. Hope you're going to have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. I certainly have one planned. My wife is going to have friends over on Friday, and hopefully, you know, the weather's going to be up and down, but it'll be okay. I'll have my big shindig that's been famous for years at my house on Monday, where, you know, hundreds of people show up, and it's great. Have Cody Eichert and the Sidewinders playing. We have Uno Mas Food Truck, and we also have, what else do we have going on there? Well, of course, the big show, the fireworks show. So I did get all my fireworks last night, pretty much hammered down, and we'll be asking my close friends to come over on Monday sometime during the day and start preparing the fireworks, because this isn't just run around with a lighter and light them. This is a production with electronics and cables and boring into fireworks and taping things up and securing them. So what takes me about 4 hours to five hours to set up takes me 17 minutes to blow up. And when people are like, man, that was a great show, it's because I'm following logic. What's logic, Dave? Well, Are you going to go out to the fairgrounds and watch fireworks? I hope you do. But what are you going to do? Get there super early. You'll eat something from one of the great food trucks. And then you're going to anticipate the start, right? Then it starts and you're all excited. But be honest, about 5 minutes in, you're getting bored already with the boom, boom. And then all you're waiting for is the grand finale. That's the next thing you anticipate and you're looking forward to. So my philosophy is anticipate the start and have a constant grand finale. And that's what we do. So we run them as hard as we can for, and it usually runs about 17 minutes if all things go as planned. And then we try to save a few of my larger fireworks for the very end so we can have kind of a big hurrah. And then Cody, he always sings the national anthem right before we let the fireworks off. Or maybe it's right after. But nonetheless, you just feel patriotic. You just feel good about yourself. You feel good about what's, you just feel good. And I think people need to feel good. So it's a fun time. Then he plays again for maybe another half an hour, and we wrap the show up by 11. Everyone, you know, not everyone leaves. And my wife wishes everyone would leave, but they don't. They hang around for a while. So sometimes I have to give them the old saying, you don't have to leave, you just can't stay here. And usually they laugh, and half hour later, most of them are still gone. So anyway, that's going to be my 4th of July weekend. I'm not sure what your plans are. I know we have the parade. My mom was always a big parade goer, and that was more sort of my motivation to always go to the parade because she went to the parade. So she would save seats for us. And then as time went on, you know, someone would bring her to the parade. But yeah, I mean, last year she was at the parade. So am I going to go to the parade this year? I don't think I will be able to make it to the parade. Just with everything else I have going on. Now, the Monroe County Fair is going on, and you guys all know that know me well that I am a huge supporter of the 4-H. I was never in 4-H. I had a lot of friends in 4-H growing up, but I was never in 4-H. But the reason I'm such a large supporter is because my great-grandfather, Jim Hayes, the founder of Hayes Market, don't need to tell you all that, was the guy that really started the livestock auction with a few other people. So it was my feeling that 25 years ago or ish, I decided I was going to start going to the 4-H auction and buy an animal in the memory of Jim Hayes, founder of, you know, Hayes Market, my granddad, my great grandfather. So I did. And some of you guys know the story, but years go by, and in the early days, people clapped, they would pat me on the back, they would say, oh, tell me stories about the store, tell me stories about my great-granddad, and then as the years went on, like 20 years in, I did it every year, boom, 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 and I'd buy other animals from kids as well. Just the claps started to slow down, the memories of people started to slow down, that's because people were, you know, dying that had those memories. And there's still people out there now say, when I was a kid, we went to Hayes Market. That's always cool to hear those stories. So I got to the point where I'm like, okay, I think it was one of those late nights. They're doing them in the mornings now, I think. But it was a late night, and I'm on my way home, and I'm thinking to myself, because, you know, it wasn't a big deal anymore to people. I'm like, you know, I've had a pretty good run. I think I'm done. So I went into the shower the next morning, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, you selfish something or other. You're not doing this for your own accolades. You're doing it to carry on a legacy that he created and of goodness, of kindness, and generosity, and all the great things that he stood for. You're going to keep doing this. So I did. And then I told a buddy of mine, my goal would be to continue to do this so long that no one even remembers anything about what I'm talking about. No one even remembers there was a Hayes Market. No one remembers anything about the ham salad. No one remembers anything about anything when it comes to it, and then you keep doing it because that's what a legacy is about. In fact, the only thing that I wish is that, well, that I'm going to do is that this year I'm not going to be able to make it because I'm out of the country, so I'll send a representative. And the last time I was out of town, I sent my nephew, and he was nervous, so he decided to bid on something early on just to get the feel for it. And I gave him a budget. I gave him the what to do, and he calls me. I go, hey, what's going on, Austin? And he said, I just bought rabbits. I go, rabbits? I go, what? He goes, yeah, and I had to get up and take a picture with them and everything. I'm like, wait a second, you bought the Grand Champion rabbits? And he said, yeah. He said, I didn't mean to, but I bought them, and he paid a lot for them. And I go, all right. I said, well, what do you calling me about? And he said, well, what am I supposed to do with them? I go, you mean you have them? And he goes, yeah, they're in the back of my car. I laugh until my belly hurts. I'm like, normally when you buy them, you give them back to the kids. Like, here's your rabbits back. You're just doing it for a donation. So anyway, I have to be really careful in who I select to represent me at the auction this year. But that's my goal. And then my other goal would be to, my son's been involved a little bit, but to set up a fund that would spit off money every year that someone could continue this on, probably through the foundation or something like that. So anyway, when do you... you know, what's the memories about, right? You got to keep them going, keep them going, keep them going. All right, I didn't intend to go down that path that long, but I'm going to take a break, come back, and talk about what's the cost of money just sitting around. This is Your Money with David Hayes. To button up the rabbit story, so at that point, I didn't know what was going to happen. So my son was watching his house. So Austin's married, newly married. They were going off somewhere, so they asked Will to come watch the house. So he comes home. I go, hey, by the way, does Austin have rabbits? And he said, yeah. I go, oh, okay. Well, I wonder what he did with them. He goes, yeah, they're free-range rabbits. And I go, what? He's got them running around his house. He didn't have a cage or anything, so he just let them go. And he said, I just throw food in the yard, and they eat grass and whatever else. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to last long. They live way out on off Harmony Road, and it didn't last long. They became a snack for something out there in the wilderness. But anyway, circle of life. Okay, so the cost of leaving your money in the bank, just sitting there not paying attention to it, are you letting it just sit in your savings account, not taking advantage of these really high rates on money markets? So here's the math. And this will motivate you if you have this. I ran into someone this week. They walked in. They had about $100,000 sitting in the bank. And they weren't making anything. It was just like a regular checking account, passbook savings, something like that. And I'm like, we talked about this. Like, what is the cost of you leaving it there? Well, if we had 4% inflation, we had 8% inflation, right? But now 4, then you're losing $4,000 by letting it sit there. Just, you're losing it here. You're losing it. In 10 years, your $100,000 will only buy about $68,000 worth of goods and services. Now, you guys know the rule of 72, right? Which is where you divide your return that you expect into 72, and that tells you how long it will take to double your money. So you take 7.2% divided into 72. It's about 10 years before you double your money. I use that all the time. But what about the reverse rule of 72? What's that? Well, it's when I divide my inflation rate into 72, and it tells me how long it will be before my purchasing power will be cut in half. So if you take 4% and divide it into 72, that's 18 years. So in 18 years, my $100,000, if I don't do anything with it, will buy $50,000 worth of stuff in 18 years. Now, there's lots of options out there for doing this, right? Move it into something. Now, is it money that you're going to need to pay your bills this week? Don't put that in anything, or even maybe at the end of the month. But we always have our today money, our 1 week money, our 1 month money, our 3 month money, you know, like something I may have to do in 3 months, maybe it's a vacation or something. Once you get past like your 1 month money, why would you not have it put into at least a high yielding money market? Now, some banks have they want you to have so much and all that. But my point is, there's a lot of stuff. You can move it into a CD. You can, if you have a lot of money, you can buy treasuries with it, short-term treasuries. You know, 2 years and under are paying ridiculous amounts of money. You can buy the fixed annuity I talked about earlier. They sell them in sort of three-year increments. Anything but leave it in cash. Anything but leave it in cash. Now, here's the rub that I have with the investment community. They are robbing you blind, because the custodians of all of your brokerage accounts, of your IRA accounts, all that, they're just not paying you anything on your cash. Now, some are paying more than others, but what I've kind of gathered is that if you're getting paid something in the twos, you're probably in a pretty good spot, but you can get paid 5. And the reason that the person running your money, it could be you or it could be a professional, has a difficult time trying to take that your money and going out and buying a mutual fund or a money market account is because it gets off their cash run. So now it's like it's kind of, I mean, can you imagine keeping track of, like in our case, thousands of accounts that say, oh, well, this person, I actually believe their cash in this account, you could do it, but it's hard. So I'm like, these guys, when they say, we're not charging you trading fees, we're not charging you IRA fees, we're not charging you platform fees, we're not charging you advisor for your planning software. How in the world do they build these great big stadiums or have owned practically all of New York? It's because they're stealing from your cash and buying stuff for themselves. And it's completely legal. So I am on this absolute dogfight mission. And I can't change the world, but I can change the people we deal with. And I mean, Rod and I were zinging them this morning, like, you know, it's great. So I'll let you know how it comes out. But pay attention to that. And I guess what I'm saying is don't get all up in arms with your advisor about how the cash account's paying so low. It's just one of those things that's going on right now. And we've never had to deal with it before because no one cared if you were getting paid 0.1 on your cash when the interest rates were practically zero. But now with short-term interest rates at 5 and above, can you not at least give me 3 on my cash? And you need cash because when opportunities come up, you need to be able to act quickly. If you sell a fund, you have to wait for it to settle, you buy it. I mean, it's just this whole messy thing going on. So you need cash, or you might need cash for distributions over the next year or something like that. So I'm just like, this has got to change. This has got to change. So anyway, that's my high horse. I'll get off of it for now, but I'll keep you updated on that as we pursue the large custodians out there to see if... Here's what I don't want to have happen. I mean, I guess in a selfish way, maybe it's okay. But if they say, okay, you're the one that's, you know, you're the loudest guy in the audience, and, you know, the loudest person always ends up winning, even if they shouldn't, we'll do a one-off deal for you, and we'll let you access this particular type of an account. But that's it. Well, that might make me like say, okay, and I walk away. But that's really not good enough. I mean, if it's good for one person, it should be good for everybody. And what I was telling them this morning, we have a duty. We have a fiduciary responsibility to look out for our folks. And if it's that we have to move this entire account to a different custodian to get better cash rates, then that may be what we have to do. So there's a lot of duking behind the scenes going on right now, and I'm sure your advisor, if you have one, is possibly fighting their fight as well. But it's not right. It's just not right. All right. Remember, reverse rule of 72, inflation divided into 72. That's how long it will be when my money will buy half the stuff it buys today. And really, when you think about earning 5%, are you really earning 5? No, you're earning 1, because 4 of it's going to inflation, only 1 of it's going into your pocket. And that's the way the real returns work. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, have you received a notice from the state of Indiana, from the Department of Revenue, saying that you did not pay your taxes on time, but you really did, and now they're wanting to penalize you? I'm taking that up right now. I must be on a mission to take, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm taking this up right now with the Department of Revenue on all of your behalfs through our state senator right now. I'll be back to tell you what I'm talking about. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's a 4th of July show, man. Let's just keep it light, keep it opinionated, and whatever else. But anyway, let me talk to you about this. Are you getting a notice from the state of Indiana saying you didn't pay your taxes on time? You're like, yeah, I did. And they're wanting you to penalize, they want to penalize you. Here's what's going on. Normally, you pay the tax in the quarter you recognize the income. That's always been the rule. But for some reason, something's changed in the system at the state that says, no, it needs to be paid early or evenly throughout the year. How are you supposed to do that when you don't know when your gains are going to come? Capital gain distributions, right, in November. Those come, you don't know what they're going to be. You pay your estimated tax, or maybe you've paid in enough tax, and you don't worry about it. Roth conversion. I convert in December, and I pay all my state, all my federal tax when it happens. Or you sell something. You sell a rental property in July, right? You get this money, then you say, I'm going to pay the tax. Well, here's what they're saying. No. You should have known what that Roth conversion would have been. You should have known what those mutual fund distributions should have been. You should have known how much you were going to get on the sale of that real estate and paid the tax throughout the year evenly. So in one example, we literally did a Roth conversion in April, paid all the tax. This was last year. Paid all the tax in April. We had it withheld. And they get a notice from the state that wanted to penalize them for not paying the taxes evenly throughout the year. I'm like, wait a second, this makes no sense whatsoever. So I text Eric Cook, our state senator. Now, he's not on a committee that really does this stuff, but he's my only hope. And he's really, really excited about getting together after the 4th and working on this. He's in the Indiana State Senate. He's not on the committee, again, that recognizes or deals with these issues, but he knows who does. And we're going to be like, dude, this is wrong. So I keep getting phone call. We get phone call every week, two or three now. So I think we're up to about 20 people because we're so active in doing Roth conversions that they're like, I got this notice that I'm being penalized. And we're like, okay, well, you can appeal it. And the first couple that we appealed, they said, okay, we'll forgive it basically this one time. But we've had people that get a letter back to say, no, we're not going to approve it. So that's just baloney. We're going to get it figured out. They must have changed something in the system. This is an unintended consequence. It has to be. It makes no logical sense. So I just want you guys to know, if you've received one of these and you're mad at somebody, you're mad at your mutual fund, you're mad at your investment advisor, you're mad at your CPA, accountant, or tax preparer, or yourself, you're not alone, and it is something that needs to be fixed. So we're working on it. I just want you to know that. So let me go back and figure out all the stuff I got to be working on here that I've been promising you. Okay, so I promised that I'm going to be working on getting higher money market or higher cash sweep accounts in your brokerage accounts. I'm going to promise you I'm going to be working on this tax glitch in their software, evidently, that's saying you owe tax penalty when you really don't. And so far, that's the only thing I think I promised you. So I will keep you up to date on all of that and whatever else comes up. So when over the years of me being in this community, I worked hard as a young person to stay connected with people that knew things or that people that know other people. And these people that I know and I mention, they're very accessible to you too. As an example, a buddy of mine needed to get his passport. I have two stories like this. So one was a missionary that was in Honduras and was at the consulate and could not get out of Honduras. And a pastor that I know called me and said, we didn't know who else to call, but someone said, you call David Hayes. So he calls me, and I said, well, let me see what we can do. And I got a hold, I text Trey Hollingsworth at the time, and he said, I'm on it. He said, I've got the best immigration person, and this person will call you. In 5 minutes, they called me. I gave him the pastor's number, and the next morning, I was in Florida. The next morning, this other pastor had their passport in hand, and they were out of Honduras. So my buddy, we were going to go to Canada fishing this past month, and his passport was expired. And he expedited and all that, and they're like, nope, it's not going to make it. So they're like, hey, do you know any way? And I'm like, gosh, I hate to ask for a favor for fishing, but all right, because now we have Erin Houshin. So I haven't really talked to her a lot, but I thought, well, I'll text her. So I text her, oh, we're on it, you know. They want to help. Eric Cook, I want to help. I remember whenever Trey first was in office, he's like, I'm just a freshman congressman, man. I need something to do. Heck yeah, I want to help. They're very accessible. So if you ever in a bind or don't know where to turn, I mean, Todd Young helped my father-in-law get on VA benefits when we just kept getting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock when he was in Congress. So they want to help. So reach out to them. You'll be impressed and surprised how accessible they really are. Not just for me, but for everyone. Now, do you all have their cell phone numbers you can text? Probably not. But call their office or email them. You'll be shocked how quickly they'll respond. Most of these people responding to you are like, you know, 25 years old or interns or something like that. So they're on top of it. They want to do something that's helpful to get you out of whatever bind you're in. Even if you're asking something stupid, like getting me a passport so I can go fishing. And guess what? He got his passport in like 3 days out of Chicago, and we were slaying the walleye a week later. All right, let me take a break, come back, and wrap up this show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Or you just call me, I guess. Email me. No, I have plenty to do. You can do it yourself. And most of the time, if you're in a bind and way behind and willing to make a deal, anything can happen. All right, happy 4th of July, everyone. It was my mother's favorite holiday, and it is also mine. I've been a pyromaniac since I was about 13, have been doing fireworks shows in cul-de-sacs of Sherwood Oaks, practically burning things down since I was a young man. I learned at the age of 50 to no longer run around like a child and light things with a lighter because that could be dangerous. And I thought, you know what? I've been doing this a really long time, a stupid way, with a bunch of other high school kids. because anyone over 21 wasn't of the right mindset, it seemed like, to ever recruit to the firing squad. So anyway, I bought a cool Cobra electronic firing system, and it was a great investment. And we were testing them out last night. They're ready to rock and roll. New igniters, new everything. Going to have a great, great 4th of July. We're going to do ours on Monday the 3rd. Going to enjoy Lake Lemon this week. Enjoy friends, family. It's going to be a great, great week. Even with the weather a little spotty, I think you can muster out a really, really good time. Hope everyone has a great one. I'll be back in the seat next Thursday. Again, happy 4th of July. Talk to you later, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.